We have an email at podcast@radiosurvivor.com. You can also get to us on social media. We're on Twitter and we are on Facebook. Of course, you can always listen to the show, not just on your local radio station.
WGXC 90.7 FM. Every Friday on WGXC from noon until 2, check out the Sugar Shack Jukebox featuring decades of funk, R&B, rock, pop, soul, and much more. That's every Friday on WGXC after the noon headlines until 2 p.m.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Bernadette Hogan is reporting for the New York Post that COVID-19 has claimed its first life in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced March 14th an 82-year-old woman has died in a New York City hospital. Quote, "We had last night a death in New York City hospital of an 82-year-old woman who had coronavirus. She came into the hospital on March 3rd, unquote, he said. Quote, "She contracted the coronavirus on top of emphysema, then she passed," unquote. A Rockland County man who died earlier in the month died of COVID-19. It was also announced March 14th. An autopsy revealed the cause of death. As of Saturday, March 14th, New York has 613 positive cases, with more than 117 patients now in hospitals. Cuomo said that the state has done 700 tests, and because the testing capacity has increased, more cases are under investigation. New York State now has more cases than any other state in the country. States of emergency were announced March 14th in Delaware, Albany, and Rensselaer counties. Dutchess County announced a new case with a Bard College staff member with COVID-19. All Rensselaer, Greene, and Columbia County schools are closing March 17th through next week, joining school systems in Dutchess and Ulster County. Quote, "Because this is not a mandated closure, some districts have altered these dates to suit their specific needs, so there will be differences in district schedules and procedures within our county. Some will cease student attendance on Tuesday and some on Wednesday," unquote, according to the Hudson School's Twitter feed. New York's Capitol also closed to the public March 15th after it was announced that two assembly members from Brooklyn tested positive for COVID-19. The state's 44,000 prison inmates will have their visitations limited starting March 14th until April 11th. The Archdiocese of New York canceled all Catholic masses effective immediately. Both Hunter Mountain and Windham Mountain are closed as of March 16th. Teaneck, New Jersey declared a lockdown, as did the entire country of France. The number of venues and organizations making changes to their public schedules because of COVID-19 continues to grow. They include schools in Greene, Columbia, Rensselaer, Ulster, and Dutchess counties. The Avalon Lounge in Catskill has shut down its live events beginning March 14th. The Council for Resources to Enrich the Arts, Technology, and Education Gallery in Catskill will be closed to the public through the month of March. The organization has also postponed all on-site and off-site exhibitions, as well as the Beaux Arts 2020, its annual fundraiser. The public civilian response to active shooter events training scheduled for March 26th at Columbia Green Community College has been canceled. The Columbia County Democratic Committee has canceled its March 23rd meeting. Chairperson Keith Kanega, however, has said, asked committee members to continue to gather signatures in preparation for the June primary, although Governor Cuomo then made a change to the petitioning rules, making it easier for candidates to get on the ballot. The Hudson Little League has postponed its ziti and meatball dinner, as well as its all Little League functions, at least until April 6th. The Woke Baby Book Fair, scheduled for Saturday, April 4th at the Hudson Area Library, has been canceled. Jazz at Atlas in Newburgh has postponed his next two concerts and is taking a wait-and-see approach about other concerts currently on its calendar. The Faye Victor Barnsongs concert has been postponed to the fall. And Bobby Previtt's Music from the Dune Shacks Quartet, originally scheduled for an April 18th performance, will also be postponed to November. the Strutting with the Stars fashion show at Helsinki Hudson, hosted by the Columbia Memorial Health Foundation, and the second show, scheduled for March 25th, has been postponed until October 7th. Berkshire East and Catamount Ski Area are closed for the remainder of the season, as are Hunter and Mountain and Wyndham Mountain. Ardo Mai and Ghent has suspended all public events classes, and the Benison Center is closed until further notice. Visitors are still welcome in the Sculpture and Architectural Park. Hudson Hall has suspended all activities involving large gatherings for the next 30 days beginning March 12th. The building and current and scheduled exhibitions are open, with opening receptions postponed and youth and community workshops suspended. The Chatham Public Library has canceled all programs at the library at least through March 31st, while the library remains open. Colony Cafe in Woodstock has canceled all events until further notice. Ginsburg's has closed their Will Call Center. The Columbia County Republican Committee has postponed their annual Lincoln Award Dinner that was scheduled for March 19th. The Chatham Bookstore has canceled a March 21st event with Barbara Bonner. The Bridge Street Theater in the Village of Catskill has postponed performances of Mother Jones in Heaven and Dirty Pocky Lingerie, scheduled for this weekend and next. Both will be presented in August instead. Time and Space Limited in Hudson has announced the Met Live and Encore broadcast of Der Fliegende Holländer has been canceled for March 14th and March 22nd. Visitations at New York's prisons are suspended indefinitely as of March 14th. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger of the Roman Catholic Diocese in Albany has temporarily suspended the obligation to attend Mass during the COVID-19 outbreak. The Greene County Department of Human Services announced all senior nutrition sites will offer takeout meals through March 27th. Seniors must call the center 24 hours in advance. Home meal delivery will continue uninterrupted. Information is available by calling 518-719-3555. Mid-Hudson Cable customer service window in Jefferson Heights will be closed until further notice. Customers are advised to visit mhcable.net or call 518-943-6600. And the Roelof Janssen Community Library is suspending all library events through the end of March. WGXC will continue to update listeners. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for the latest closings and information about the COVID-19 illness in this community.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process.
Donald Trump must be defeated, and I will do everything in my power to make that happen. On Sunday night, in the first one-on-one debate of this campaign, the American people will have the opportunity to see which candidate is best positioned to accomplish that goal.
Senator Bernie Sanders says he may be losing the electability vote after this week's primaries gave former Vice President Joe Biden a 150-delegate lead. But Sanders says he's winning the battle for ideas and younger voter support. He's challenging the Democratic establishment and Biden directly, demanding they address the deep inequality and structural problems facing the country. An anti-Israeli occupation group, If Not Now, endorsed him yesterday, saying Sanders, quote, embodies the Jewish value of justice for all, unquote.
In order to win in the future, you need to win the voters who represent the future of our country, and you must speak to the issues of concern to them. You cannot simply be satisfied by winning the votes of people who are older.
Biden won key demographics this week, including African Americans, a core constituency of the Democratic Party. But the generational divide holds across the Black community as well, according to Alabama State University professor Darren Moten.
I think Senator Bernie Sanders has probably garnered the most interest and excitement among young African Americans. I think former Vice President Joe Biden is holding his own among older African Americans.
In Michigan, Biden won 71% of voters 65 and up, whereas Sanders won 76% of 18 to 29-year-olds. Sanders' argument has long been that his campaign will turn out more working-class voters and young people than ever. Michigan political reporter Emily Lawler from MLive says Sanders did perform better in university towns.
But those don't seem to be strong enough to overcome what seems to be a pretty sizable margin at this point for Joe Biden.
One reason may be the state's switching from caucuses in the last presidential election to primaries this year to increase access to the polls, which likely drove much higher turnout in Minnesota, Colorado, Idaho, Utah, and Washington. In 2016, these five caucus to primary states all went for Sanders. Colorado and Utah are the only ones so far this year. Washington State is still neck and neck, and Biden won both Minnesota and Idaho. From Sandpoint, KRFY's reporter Susie Prez says Sanders just does better in caucuses.
And I don't know why that is, except for that feeling of, you know, he's a very popular speaker. He gets people going. I know, especially the young people, they'll come up to a party. But do they, are they showing up to vote? I don't know.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks to 2020 Talks intern Danny Gare. And thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2012. That was the day OSHA released its memorandum titled Employer Safety Incentive and Disincentive Practices. It addressed compliance officers and whistleblower investigators. It touched on employer practices that discourage the reporting of injuries and illnesses on the job. The memorandum stated that employee reporting is a protected right. It also asserted that employer discouragement could constitute a violation of whistleblower statutes like 11C of the OSHA Act and record-keeping regulations. OSHA emphasized that the likelihood of discouragement and discrimination increases when safety programs are linked to lower reported injuries and illnesses. The memorandum outlines four common scenarios. One, when an employer disciplines workers injured on the job, employees must have a way to report injuries and illnesses. Two, when an employer disciplines workers for the time or manner in which they report an injury. Three, when a worker is disciplined for an injury as a result of violating a safety rule. OSHA asks, does the employer monitor the workplace regularly for safety compliance? Does the employer mete out discipline equally, regardless of injury? And finally, the memorandum stresses the need to examine the kind of safety program implemented. Does the program provide incentives to dissuade workers from reporting injuries and illnesses? Are prizes and bonuses awarded when reported injuries decrease? Discouraging and disciplining workers for reporting could be considered unlawfully discriminatory. It also violates the employer's obligation to document injuries and illnesses. OSHA notes there are positive ways to implement safety practices. Examples include rewarding workers who identify hazards, participate in investigations, and offer suggestions on how to make the job safer or complete safety training.
Using gravity to predict floods. It's a weighty topic on This Current Cast. NASA satellites monitor changes in the Earth's gravity field. Yes, gravity changes. J.T. Rager of the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory says shifting water masses play a role.
If you have more water in a region, you have more mass there. And more mass is associated with more gravity, and therefore changes in water can cause changes in gravity.
So think of river basins as buckets. When they're almost full of snow, soil moisture, and groundwater, the NASA satellites will measure a small increase in gravity, alerting us that the system is saturated and more likely to flood with added precipitation. Rager says that by combining gravity measurements with weather forecasts, we could see floods coming about 5 months in advance. CurrentCast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Bernadette Hogan is reporting for the New York Post that COVID-19 has claimed its first life in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced March 14th an 82-year-old woman has died in a New York City hospital. Quote, "We had last night a death in New York City hospital of an 82-year-old woman who had coronavirus. She came into the hospital on March 3rd, unquote, he said. quote, she contracted the coronavirus on top of emphysema, then she passed, unquote. A Rockland County man who died earlier in the month died of COVID-19. It was also announced March 14th. An autopsy revealed the cause of death. As of Saturday, March 14th, New York has 613 positive cases, with more than 117 patients now in hospitals. Cuomo said that the state has done 700 tests, and because the testing capacity has increased, more cases are under investigation. New York State now has more cases than any other state in the country. States of emergency were announced March 14th in Delaware, Albany, and Rensselaer counties. Dutchess County announced a new case with a Bard College staff member with COVID-19. All Rensselaer, Greene, and Columbia County schools are closing March 17th through next week, joining school systems in Dutchess and Ulster County. Quote, because this is not a mandated closure, some districts have altered these dates to suit their specific needs, so there will be differences in district schedules and procedures within our county. Some will cease student attendance on Tuesday and some on Wednesday, unquote, according to the Hudson Schools Twitter feed. New York's Capitol also closed to the public March 15th after it was announced that two assembly members from Brooklyn tested positive for COVID-19. The state's 44,000 prison inmates will have their visitations limited starting March 14th until April 11th. The Archdiocese of New York canceled all Catholic masses effective immediately. Both Hunter Mountain and Windham Mountain are closed as of March 16th. Teaneck, New Jersey declared a lockdown, as did the entire country of France. The number of venues and organizations making changes to their public schedules because of COVID-19 continues to grow. They include schools in Greene, Columbia, Rensselaer, Ulster, and Dutchess counties. The Avalon Lounge in Catskill has shut down its live events beginning March 14th. The Council for Resources to Enrich the Arts, Technology, and Education Gallery in Catskill will be closed to the public through the month of March. The organization has also postponed all on-site and off-site exhibitions, as well as the Beaux Arts 2020, its annual fundraiser. The public civilian response to active shooter events training scheduled for March 26th at Columbia Green Community College has been canceled. The Columbia County Democratic Committee has canceled its March 23rd meeting. Chairperson Keith Kanega, however, has said, asked committee members to continue to gather signatures in preparation for the June primary, although Governor Cuomo then made a change to the petitioning rules, making it easier for candidates to get on the ballot. The Hudson Little League has postponed its ziti and meatball dinner, as well as its all Little League functions, at least until April 6th. The Woke Baby Book Fair, scheduled for Saturday, April 4th at the Hudson Area Library, has been canceled. Jazz at Atlas in Newburgh has postponed his next two concerts and is taking a wait-and-see approach about other concerts currently on its calendar. The Faye Victor Barnsongs concert has been postponed to the fall. And Bobby Previtt's Music from the Dune Shacks Quartet, originally scheduled for an April 18th performance, will also be postponed to November. The Strutting with the Stars fashion show at Helsinki Hudson, hosted by the Columbia Memorial Health Foundation, and the second show, scheduled for March 25th, has been postponed till October 7th. Berkshire East and Catamount Ski Area are closed for the remainder of the season, as are Hunter and Mountain and Windham Mountain. Art O'Mai in Ghent has suspended all public events classes, and the Benison Center is closed until further notice. Visitors are still welcome in the Sculpture and Architectural Park. Hudson Hall has suspended all activities involving large gatherings for the next 30 days beginning March 12th. The building and current and scheduled exhibitions are open, with opening receptions postponed and youth and community workshops suspended. The Chatham Public Library has canceled all programs at the library at least through March 31st, while the library remains open. Colony Cafe in Woodstock has canceled all events until further notice. Ginsburg's has closed their Will Call Center. The Columbia County Republican Committee has postponed their annual Lincoln Award Dinner that was scheduled for March 19th. The Chatham Bookstore has canceled a March 21st event with Barbara Bonner. The Bridge Street Theater in the Village of Catskill has postponed performances of Mother Jones in Heaven and Dirty Pocky Lingerie, scheduled for this weekend and next. Both will be presented in August instead. Time and Space Limited in Hudson has announced the Met Live and Encore broadcast of Der Fliegende Holländer has been canceled for March 14th and March 22nd. Visitations at New York's prisons are suspended indefinitely as of March 14th. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger of the Roman Catholic Diocese in Albany has temporarily suspended the obligation to attend Mass during the COVID-19 outbreak. The Greene County Department of Human Services announced all senior nutrition sites will offer takeout meals through March 27th. Seniors must call the center 24 hours in advance. Home meal delivery will continue uninterrupted. Information is available by calling 518-719-3555. Mid-Hudson Cable customer service window in Jefferson Heights will be closed until further notice. Customers are advised to visit mhcable.net or call 518-943-6600. And the Roelof Janssen Community Library is suspending all library events through the end of March. WGXC will continue to update listeners. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for the latest closings and information about the COVID-19 illness in this community. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts that Sunday should be partly sunny, with a high near 41 and a low around 13 Sunday night. Monday should be sunny with a high of 39, and Monday night there is a chance of rain and possibly snow showers after 2 a.m. There's a 30% chance. Cloudy skies, a low around 34. Then on Tuesday, again, rain and snow showers are forecast in the morning, then turning just to rain. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 50 on Tuesday, and a low around 26. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Radio for open ears.
If only it was so simple. Oh, Lordy, what an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. What an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. What an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. What an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. Oh, Lordy, what an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. What an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. Oh, Lordy, what an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. Oh, Lordy, what an empty boo boo dinty billy that lono. Oh, Lordy, oh, Lordy, oh, Lordy, oh, Lordy, oh, Lordy, oh, Lordy, oh, Lordy.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am a student from Hudson CSD. I am also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I go to school at Libri, and I live in Elizaville, but I come from Manhattan.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books. Yay. We love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
It seems like now every time that we say this is becoming like a routine.
It was a
routine. It's been a routine since whenever this radio show started.
Yeah. What I wanted
Can
to join.
It's changed slightly, though.
I was going to join in when you said bookish things, but in my mind, like, you know how your mind is, like, kind of like a computer, and, like, and so, like, in my mind, like, I typed in, and British things.
British things? And the British things. Like, I don't know what that like accent was I just used, but it was not
regarding
British.
Regarding things that are not chips.
British things there.
Well, we can
talk about books.
Talk about books.
Yeah, not British things.
Yes.
Do you have a book you want to talk about, Amelia?
Yes, I do. I do. Yay. For our creative writing class has now moved into creative nonfiction. So we have been given a book assignment for this one. And the three books we could choose from were Hunger, The Glass Castle, and The Tattooist of Auschwitz. And I chose this one because it was the shortest. But also because I'm
supposed
like,
to be very good.
I like books like this that deal with World War II. And things like that. It's by Heather Morris, but it is about a real person in Auschwitz named Lael Sokolov, I think I'm pronouncing that right, who ended up getting a job as a tattooist in Auschwitz while being a prisoner there. He was the one who would tattoo the numbers on people's arms.
Wow.
I've not gotten to that part in the book yet where he started doing that. I'm only on page 28, but my teacher said she really, really loved this book, and I think it had a lot of like good reviews as well. So yeah, I can't wait to check more of it out.
Well, is that one like a fictionalized telling of this? Like, is it loosely based or is
it
pretty true?
It's like, you know, it's creative, but it is a real person. Lael was a real person, and this was his real story. It's just written by a woman named Heather Morris, but there's an excerpt from the back from an interview she did with him. So it's fairly, I'd be able to say it's probably majorly accurate.
Sounds really good. I'm interested in reading that. Oh, it does say a novel, so it must be based on fact, but somewhat fictionalized, because they have to fill in the blanks, I guess.
Yeah.
That's cool. It just seems slightly different than, like, Glass Castle, even though it reads like a novel, it's a memoir.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a slightly different category.
Oh, there was a fourth book called Educated,
Oh, I loved Educated.
Huh?
I loved that book.
Oh, I didn't choose that one. I can't remember why I didn't choose that one.
Because you chose this one.
But yeah, that's because I chose this one.
I would like to read the one you're reading too.
Wait, yeah. Is Educated long or short?
It's a longer book compared to the other ones we could choose from. I believe our teacher summarized this, so I'm not saying this from experience, but I think it is about a young girl who is raised in a very, very extremist religious family, and she ends up breaking away to go to college, mm-hmm. but she's kind of dealing with, like, the trauma from that whole experience of growing up with such, like, extreme religious beliefs pushed on her. Hunger is about a girl struggling with obesity for tons of reasons regarding trauma. Basically, all the books are sad, and I can't remember what Glass Castle was about.
It's a memoir of a young woman's childhood with a family that...
No.
I feel like both that and Educated have to do with family dynamics.
I think Glass Castle has to do with Mormonism as well.
Oh.
I think I remember one of them being about Mormons, but I cannot remember, and I think it might have been Glass Castle.
Can't remember the specific.
I was gonna say, well, Glass Castle is about a glass castle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a fairy tale.
And no, it has a glass princess inside. And then one day she decided to jump out of the window and she had magic floating powers. And then she escaped the castle. The end.
That's a different Glass Castle, but yes. My main memory from the Glass Castle that Amelia is talking about is there's a scene where she's talking about how at a very young age, and I feel like she was like 3 or something, that she was cooking food for herself on a stovetop. And I'm just imagining a young child with like a boiling pan of water. I think she's making hot dogs or mac and cheese or something.
That's terrifying.
I can't remember. And I was like, oh my
goodness. I
imagine
her having a hat that's about as... with like a chef's hat arm. Yes, oh a chef's gosh. Hat that's
and this
big,
was without adult supervision. I didn't
arm.
Say that.
Oh no.
And she's,
yeah, so that's
and she's
not,
frying an egg.
So that's not good.
And bacon. She's like with the chef's hat
I
on.
I can barely cook for myself now when I'm 18. How on earth would you do that at 3? But yeah.
Oh.
Just vague memories about what
she did survive though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But cool. That sounds like a fun assignment, even though the books sound really sad.
Yeah.
Or intense. I guess Educated and Glass Castle aren't necessarily sad.
Yeah.
I haven't read Hunger yet, but...
Not your Glass Castle.
Hunger is, I guess, is very devastating to read and very, very sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it would just make me hungry.
Oh, no, it would probably actually make you the opposite based on what it's about.
Mm. Oh, then I don't want to read it. I want to read my version of Hungry. Hi, my name is Hungary. And I am hungry.
So what did you guys read about?
So the book that I got is Guts. And it says that it's a number one New York Times bestseller. It's like the author of the number one Times bestseller Smile, Rena Teljmer. And so I'm going to read the back. It says... More than just tummy trouble, a true story. Rena wakes up one night with a terrible upset stomach. Her mom has one too, so it's probably just a bug. Rena eventually returns to school where she's dealing with the usual highs and lows, friends, not friends, and classmates who think the school year is just one gross-out session. It soon becomes clear that Rena's tummy trouble isn't going away, and it coincides with her worries about food, school, and changing friendships. What's going on? Rena Teljmer once again brings us a thoughtful, charming, and funny true story about growing up and gathering the courage to face and conquer her fears.
What is the main character's name? Rena? She was in another one of the books, right?
Yeah. She's in Sisters and Smile.
Yes.
And maybe Drama? Maybe?
No. Oh, she's in Smile?
She's not in that one. Oh, she's
okay.
in Smile and Sisters.
Oh,
so the three of them are her three autobiographical comics.
Yeah. Okay. I knew I recognize the name from one of them, but I could not remember.
Well, we know you.
Yeah, we know I read Smile. And we know...
We know how you felt about it.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Amelia doesn't like teeth stories.
I don't like teeth.
Yeah. Wait, then how come you have teeth if you don't like
them? She likes having them. She just doesn't
they're
like
nice. They're kind of
the idea of
too.
Them being damaged or hurt or messed with.
Okay, so good thing I didn't bring up what happened with my cousin because that was disgusting.
Spare her.
Yes, I will spare her.
So how do you, I know you've read other books by Renée Telgemeier. How does this one compare? Do you like it more or less, about the same?
I like it about the same, but I think Ghosts, her book, is like on the highest like one that I like because it has to do with like Mexico and like it's great and it celebrate and they bring up our holiday called Day of the Dead, or more known as Dia de los Muertos. Mm-hmm. It's like in her point of view what might happen in like Day of the Dead, but in the picture at the back it looks like she went to like one of those parties like for Day of the Dead. Cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's a very popular, hence number one New York Times bestselling author. Yeah. I think basically all of her books that she puts out are on the bestsellers list for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like Smile frequently shows up on those lists and it's been out for years.
Raina, if you're listening, which would be very nice if you are, please make more autobiography books and other books like that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
How about you, AJ? What are you reading recently these days?
Right now, I am reading Homeless Bird by Gloria Wellman, and it is the winner of the National Book Award.
Yeah, for young people's literature.
And it's about a girl named Coley who is 17. No, I think in the beginning she's 15. And she gets married, and then her husband dies 2 days after.
Wow.
And then her sister-in-law, or I think it's sister-in-law, gets married off to someone else. And then her father-in-law dies, and then her mother-in-law leaves her alone in a city full of widows. And that's the part that I got up to so far.
Wait, what's a widow?
Oh.
A widow is somebody who whose spouse has died.
What's a spouse?
They're a husband or a wife.
So a widow is technically a person who doesn't have a husband. Well,
she used to have a husband.
Well, had a husband, but the husband died.
What if it's a boy?
I think it's still called a widow, is it?
I think so.
If it's a boy, then I'm just going to call it a boy who...
Yeah.
A boy widow.
Male and female widows.
Yeah.
Or...
I don't think
the widower.
I think it's general.
Or widowette. Like, widowette for a girl.
See, that's the thing. I don't think it's gendered that way. I've heard the term widower before, but I... The way that sounds, it sounds like that is referring to the person who has died and made the other person a widow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, widower's
so
the
I'm not actually
person that's deceased.
Sure, okay, what? Now we know.
I was curious if there is gendered versions of widow.
Like, I don't think it is.
But not in, I know there isn't in English, but I wonder if like in other languages, like in Spanish.
In Spanish, certain words are masculine or feminine, but it's weird words. Hmm.
Like in Spanish, I don't know if that's a gender thing. It doesn't mention here, but widow in Spanish is viuda.
There are two different ways to say they, ellos and ellas. And ellos is referring to a group of females, and ellos is referring to a group of males or a group of males or and females.
Mm-hmm.
Amigas, amigos. So yes, does that mean too. Like it would be widow o?
No,
It doesn't work the same in English.
I don't think it doesn't really function the same way in English.
At least for that word. No. There is like masseur and masseuse, which are sometimes.
It's like masseur. I can't remember
which
ones.
I guess those come
which.
From the French, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Like but like ways of saying friends are also different, like amiga or amigo for a female friend or a male friend, respectively. A few things I remember from Spanish class.
So right now there's a little bit, I've gotten a little bit farther. I'm on chapter 9, and so far she is in a camp of widows that are off going to jobs, and she made a new friend, supposedly.
Sounds like an interesting book.
Yeah.
Not something you read every day.
I feel like all the books that are in my classroom library, it's not really a library, it's just shelf of book. I'm like, I feel like I read all of them, and I feel like none of them are interesting to me. But then I end up reading them, and I love them.
Then you need to come to my school library, but you probably won't like the librarians there because, like, they're like, shh, and, like, they're always yelling at us. It's a library. You should be quiet, too.
My librarian isn't that bad. She lets us be louder. Maybe because that's where in the club she runs, but, you know, she's our club advisor. So maybe she's just lenient with us, but we get to chill in the shelves during lunch.
I have a book I could talk about.
Oh,
it's a book of poetry.
Yes, ooh, we're talking about poetry today.
I love poetry.
Yeah,
I've been trying to read more of it.
Eagles Can Fly poem.
I just got out of the poetry unit in my creative writing class. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a poetry recital Friday.
Oh, cool. But this one's called Castaway Poems for Our Time by Naomi Shihab Nye, who's the Young People's Poet Laureate. And it's a book of poetry. It's got 84 poems, and it is about trash. And
I think you told us about this.
I mentioned that I was reading it and that I was going to talk about it, but I didn't have my book last week, and we ran out of time, so it worked out. So Naomi Shihab Nye is actually an avid trash picker-upper, so she goes off on, like, trash walks and, like, sees what she finds, and then she often writes about it as well.
Oh.
So in addition to, like, cleaning up, she uses it for writing as well.
That's cool.
So it's an interesting collection of poems, and I really enjoyed it. I feel like often when I read collections of poems, there'll be, like, a handful that I really like, and then the rest are kind of, like, whatever. But I think this really worked well as a collection because of the focus. So I can read an example. There's one called Don't Mess with Texas, and then in parentheses it says highway sign. Really? What about these energy bottles pitched by someone who didn't have energy to find a bin? Fun finger food wrappers dropped by someone. Not so fun? Empty envelopes scattered outside post office. Pepper packets from a sad lunch where two people broke up. Shortbread cookie wrapper missing the highlands of Scotland. In parentheses it says, this is not my real home. Plastic bags, windswept, forlorn, torn. Strike while it's hot, says the lottery ticket. But it's always hot these days. Don't Mess with Texas was said to be the anti-litter campaign that really worked. But not here, on old streets called Guadalupe and Camp. Turtles paddling San Pedro Creek. Swimming wide around pitched green bottles, not sure what they are. Diving deep when you wave. Hey, only a few days ago, two human beings toasted one's birthday by clinking those bottles, and now they're stuck on rocks.
It's cool that she finds inspiration in the little things she picks up like that.
Yeah. So another one that I think most of them really easily flowed into the theme. This one, I was less sure how it connected to the theme, but I thought maybe it was while she was doing one of her trash runs that she ran into this young man. And that was what inspired it, but I thought it was very cute. It's Connor James, age 3, and in parentheses it says, spoken poems. My bus was going by, and it didn't even look at me. It just left me here. Be nice to my dada. Be nice to my dada. If you are not nice to my dada, you should not have a mouth.
Aw, that's so
cute. I just thought it was so cute.
Oh, boy, that's so cute.
And then in the back of the book,
I think that's what I'm going to use. Instead of, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything else.
You
like, if
not
you're not
have
nice
mouth.
To my dad, you shouldn't have a mouth. That's so cute.
Not allowed. and I like in the end of the book, she has a section where it says, ideas for writing, recycling, reclaiming. So I'll read some of this. Number one, picking up trash is not depressing since you are doing something positive. A solitary trash walk will offer an instant boost of positivism. Your dopamine level instantly rises. A scientific fact I just made up, but I do think it's true. You see results right in front of you, which is pleasant for the instant gratification part of your psyche. Picking up trash by yourself is not messy, yucky, or creepy. If you carry a nice fresh bag, I do feel a little guilty about the bag and sometimes use a recyclable paper grocery bag. Wear protective gloves and carry tongs. It is simply cleansing, refreshing in the extreme. People speak to you with gratitude, but also you are slightly invisible, which is its own pleasure. And then in the second part, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but part two, she writes, write about what you find. You learn a lot about human nature while doing this. Why do people throw certain things away? What do these leavings tell you about your neighbors? Imagine the litterer. Create a character study from everything you find on one day, as if it all came from one person. Or write a story including 5 to 10 of the items you find. I just think it's really interesting.
It's so,
like, her different ideas for, like, how to make the act of cleaning up litter fun, which is have a trash pickup birthday party. The games can be making art out of found objects.
I was supposed to have gone on a trash pickup one day with my Girl Scout troop, but we never got to that point before we ended up just kind of dissolving. But yeah,
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
I also like number 9, write a letter to a particular piece of trash. So you go on a walk and you pick up a lot of trash. And then you find a piece and you write a letter to it.
Hmm.
Very interesting. If you're interested in poetry that's pretty accessible, I highly suggest this one.
Yeah, that's cool.
So my poem is sort of a nonsense poem, but it's also a poem that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
My Eye by AJ.
Wait, what is it?
My Eye.
Like eyeball?
Yes.
My Eye, okay.
My eye is dry, but why I cry? 'Cause I have rye in my poor eye. Oh my. And when I was writing it, I was like, but why? And I was like, smy, try, blight.
Kind of rhyme.
But instead I said, I have rye in my poor eye.
Sounds painful.
I know.
I did write one more poem for poetry, if we have enough time for me
to
read it.
That'd be great.
I'm going to read my own poem for once. Look at me go.
Go.
How are you?
Sorry. I was just cheering you on.
Look at me. How are you all so calm when the end is so near? You remain stone-faced as the world disintegrates beneath our feet. I have seen what will happen. The earth will open its maw and swallow us whole. That is just the beginning. After the ground turns on us, the heavens will follow suit. Blue atmosphere and night sky will blend into eternal dusk. The stars will become sick and fall from their celestial homes. The moon will shatter into shards, which will cut the flesh of our planet. I have seen it all, and it is inevitable. So I ask you again, how are you all so calm?
I don't know. How are you all so calm?
I try.
It's because they're lost in their books.
Yeah.
That happens to me sometimes. I like getting lost in a book. I've been reading some really good ones, including the one I talked about today.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
But anyways, does anyone have anything that they're excited about in the coming week, whether a book or something else? It's okay if you
don't. I have one thing that already happened and one thing that I'm excited for. I'll make it very quick. So the thing that I'm happy for is because I got new chicks and ducks at my house. They're so cute.
Aw.
And
that's cute.
I'm going to go to my first birthday party here.
Nice.
That I've ever been invited to.
Awesome. I hope that's you have fun cool. with I your will. Chicks and at the party. I love little chicks.
Baby chicks are so cute.
What about you, Lena? Is there anything you're especially excited for in the coming week, bookish or otherwise?
This Friday, I get to stay home from school.
What do you do on a day off from school?
I usually hang out with my sister, but I'm scared this time because my cousin is coming over, and he broke a controller once while he was playing Fortnite.
Tell him he's on notice. No breaking things.
Yeah, so we won't let him on the Xbox again.
This Friday, I get to hang out with some of my friends I haven't seen in a while, so that'll be fun.
Nice.
We're going to the theater. We're going to see some movies.
Oh, cool. Like the movie theater. I was going to ask which kind of theater.
Oh, yeah, we did mean them. I did mean a movie theater.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
What other kind of theaters are there?
Well, I'm seeing Cats in May, so that kind of theater.
Oh, and what's the school play again this year? The
school play is Shrek.
Shrek. Mm-hmm. I saw Shrek as a play once, and it was very fun.
Oh.
It actually has very, very good music, like better than you would expect. But my friend is playing the lead in that, and I'm very proud of her, and I can't wait to see her play Fiona. I can't wait. She's cool. The best. Oh, no, I'm not a theater person. Absolutely not.
Definitely, yeah.
Never, never, never.
Are you in... have any plays at your school? And if you do, are you in one? I think that we had one before I joined, but right now we don't.
But maybe someday in the future.
Oh.
I was in one play ever, and it was Alice in Wonderland Jr. It was the Cheshire Cat. Ooh. And... it went all right, but it's not an experience I want to have again. I was very, very, very scared.
Yeah. As a child, I was in the Phantom Toll Booth, and I was in the Music Man, and then I stopped acting.
Wait, what? I'm in my first ever play at the school. It's called Vaudeville.
Vaudeville.
And
I like
also...
the way you say Vaudeville.
And also, I love the Phantom Toll Booth.
Yeah. I might also be seeing Hadestown, but I'm not sure. My dad has not confirmed that. He just asked in a very suspicious way, do you want to see Hadestown? And I said yes, and then he left. So I actually have no idea if I'm really seeing that or not. But I do know that I am seeing Cats because that was one of my Christmas presents, was to see that at Proctor's. And I can't wait. I need to learn how to not cry during the song Gus the Theater Cat because I guarantee you I will sob.
Why?
It's such a sad song. It's so sad. And everything else is so happy and uppity. And then it's Gus the Theater Cat and I'm like, oh, I'm sad now.
Yay. Well, I'm excited about the book I'm currently reading, which is a book for adults, so I don't know if I'll talk about it on the show, but I'm still very excited to read it. It's called Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed.
Ooh. Oh, wait, Kylie Reed.
I stayed up too late last night reading it, so I'm tired. But I'm glad I stayed up reading it because it was fun. And I'm also listening to it. I'm doing my thing where I go back and forth.
The audiobook versus the normal.
Well.
And then I'm also excited because this week, the TV show or streaming series, I should say, On My Block is coming back for its third season. And I love that show.
Oh, nice.
And that one is youth oriented, but I still love it as an adult.
Yeah. I mean, Stranger Things is technically youth oriented, but my parents love it. I could never get into it. I don't know why. I powered through the first season and then finally got bored and realized I had no idea what was going on because I kept tuning out.
Well, you staying up too late reading the book, the sun today didn't help much with that, did it? It's so hot, but it's also so cool because of the breeze, but it's still so hot.
I'm very happy that the sun is out longer. I have a hard time with the winter months, but I do love it when it's sunnier later in the day.
Yay for
I try
sunshine.
Not to let that get in the way of my love of holidays, but, you know, life is like that sometimes.
Yep. Great. Well, I hope everyone has a great week, and I hope all our listeners have a great week with lots of quality reading time and sunshine and other good things.
Oh, we're out of time, aren't we?
We are. So, have a good week. Thanks for listening. Happy reading.
Bye.
See you, viewers.
मेरी बातें गलती से ही दुनिया बनी पूरा सही कोई नहीं है ले ले मेरी चेतावनी दिल में जो आए आज हो जाए दिल में जो आए आज हो जाए आज स्टेज लगा है बड़ी जगह है
tell you a story. It's about poo. Poo, poo. Sit down. Poo, poo.
One of which, two of them were birds. For that reason, one of which, two of them were birds. For that reason, one of which, two of them were birds. One of which, two of them were birds.
Poo, poo.
Hey, Bert. Come here, Bert.
Where are you, Ernie?
Oh, I'm right here in my bathtub.
Ah, I see. Okay, Ernie, what is it now?
What is it now? Why, I'm here in my tubby, Bert.
Yeah?
And that means I'm going to wash myself.
So what do you need me for?
What a silly question. I'm going to wash myself, and while I do, you're going to pretend you're washing yourself.
I am?
Of course you are. That's what all the boys and girls listening to the record are going to do.
Ah.
Are you ready, Bert?
Look, no, Ernie. Well, you see, I don't
really... And are all you kids ready? good. Okay, everybody, wash! Everybody, wash your hands! Everybody, wash your face! Everybody, wash your ears! Everybody, wash your tummy! Okay, Bert, you take the next one.
My turn?
Yep, you do it.
Okay. Everybody, wash your heels.
Your heels, Bert?
Yeah, this is fun.
Okay.
Everybody, wash your kneecap.
Your kneecap, Bert?
Or your kneecap, both of them.
Okay, got them.
Here we go. Everybody, wash your thumbs.
We did that when we did the hands, Bert.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Everybody, wash your thumbs. Big toe.
Oh, that's a good one, Bert.
I like that. Now,
everybody wash your everything.
Yeah, your toe and your kneecap.
Right.
Oh, I gotta wash my socks.
We're going to be pretty soon at only 5 people. And we could be at just 1 or 2 people over the next short period of time.
Congress's top doctor has told Senate staffers that he expects 70 to 150 million Americans to contract the coronavirus.
I mean, view this the same as the flu.
The mortality of this is multiple times what seasonal flu is.
Anybody that needs a test gets a test.
We don't have enough tests today.
We're very close to a vaccine.
When you're talking about the availability of a vaccine, you're talking about a year to a year and a half.
A lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat.
We do not know whether it's going to diminish as the weather gets warm.
The risk of contracting the coronavirus to the American public remains low.
We do expect more cases.
We can expect to see more cases in the United States.
We will see more cases, and things will get worse than they are right now.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Hi, my name is Maddie.
And I'm Kaylee.
Here's the Catskill News. So fist or elbow bump?
I saw a report that the fist is fine.
As long as you don't grab your hand.
That's why I carry hand sanitizer.
And wash your hands.
We all should be using universal precautions.
Dr. Cook has recently convened our administrative teams together to implement a plan of action to keep our students and staff safe. Our custodians are keeping our classrooms and the school clean and taking extra steps to disinfect. If you have any questions, please check out our district website for information.
Catskill Rotary recently recognized their Students of the Month from CHS Isabella Woods and CMS Brianna Dragon. Congratulations on this impressive honor.
The Capital Project will begin construction this spring at the high school and middle school campus. Matt recently sat down with Mr. Bragg to discuss implications of the project.
Hi, Mr. Bragg.
Hey, Matthew. How are you?
I'm good. What are the upcoming projects scheduled for the high school campus?
We got a lot of projects going to be happening here. We got the auditorium with the seating and the lighting, and the sound is going to be changed. Steam room, which is very exciting. Roofing, the safety things are going to be processed here. We got the athletic fields. We're upgrading our science labs, the locker rooms, and nurses' office.
How will the capital project affect the Catskill High School?
It's going to affect it in 2 different ways. First, it's going to affect us that we're going to have all the summer programs here this year, this summer. So all the summer programs at the elementary, middle school, and high school will be here at the high school, which we have planned out appropriately. And then next year, everybody's going to go up to the elementary school while they do perform a lot of work here at the high school. But it's also going to affect us in the long term, given a lot of opportunities to you, the students, with our STEAM labs, the athletic fields, more appropriate nursing offices, ADA format, so that they're under the laws protected. So there's going to be a lot of things, and plus we won't have as leaks in the building as we had in the past.
Are you excited about the improvements that are going to be done at CHS?
Absolutely. I think this is a great opportunity, great timing for our students, especially when we're looking at pathways in the future of our kids. We're looking at so many avenues for our kids to be able to graduate, whether it's CDOS, CTE, Regents, etc. And we want to make sure that our kids are college and career ready. And in order to do so, this project's going to be an asset to what we're looking at doing as a curriculum change.
How long do you think the work in the high school will take?
It's going to take from